And he's called us into holiness. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Because he lives on the inside of us. Glory. Hallelujah. And so we worship you, Almighty God. And we thank you, Father, for your faithfulness, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, for your goodness and your grace and your mercy, Father. We thank you for your loving kindness, oh Lord God, that you continuously show unto your people. We thank you, Father, for the blood of Jesus. We thank you, Father, that we have your Spirit, the Holy Spirit that resides and lives on the inside of us. We thank you, Father, that we can come to this sanctuary, Lord. We can come collectively together, Father, and lift up holy hands and worship you, Almighty God, and praise you, Father, for who you are. You are Almighty God. You're God all by yourself. And we love you, Father, for we are yours, oh Lord God, and you are ours. Oh, and we thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord God, that you have kept us, Lord, that your hands of protection, Father, have surrounded us, oh, Lord God. We thank you that you sent forth the angels to watch over us, Father. We thank you, Lord God, that, Father, the angels, oh, Lord God, guided the airplane, Father, as our pastor and his family, Lord God, went to Hawaii. We thank you, Lord, that they made a safe trip, Father. And we thank you, Lord God, that they're there being refreshed, oh, Lord God, in your presence, Father, beholding your beauty, oh Lord God, of the creation, Father, oh Lord God, and while they're there, Father, we know that they will take every opportunity to glorify your name, oh Lord God, and lifting up the name of Jesus. And so we cover them right now, Father. We cover them by the blood of Jesus, and that, Father, you would use them mightily even where they are, even over there, Lord God, in the state of Hawaii, Father, that there may be somebody hurting, Lord God. There may be somebody that need a word, oh Lord God, and that you would use them, Father, to bring forth that word. For in such a time as this, oh Lord God, that they may bring glory and honor to your name, Father, and that that resident over there in Hawaii may be stirred up in their inner man. That sinner over there, Lord God, may get saved in the name of Jesus. And while we're here tonight, Father, we thank you, Lord God, that he, Pastor, has entrusted us, Lord, to continue, Father, what has begun, oh Lord God, and coming out tonight on Wednesday night, Lord, to lift up praises and worship unto you, Father, and to bring forth a word, an encouraging word to your people, Father. Oh Lord God, we need you, Holy Spirit, for we could do nothing without you. And so we thank you that you are here. You are here in our midst, oh Lord God, leading and guiding us, Father. And so I pray over the ears of everyone that is here, every soul that has come out tonight, oh Lord God, that our hearts would be attentive, our minds would be attentive, our hearts geared unto you, Lord God. Oh, Father, for what you want to do in each and every one of our lives, oh Lord God, taking us higher, Father, to another level, deeper in you, Lord God. Hallelujah! 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 That your will be done here in this earth, and not only in this earth, but in the city of Antioch, oh Lord God, and the surrounding cities, Father, where you have placed your people, for you have put us, Father, strategically in different boundaries, oh Lord God, in different cities, oh Lord God, that we may declare your glory. So what we receive, Father, what we receive in this house, Father, we take forth, oh Lord God, that Jesus would be highly exalted, and that your name, Lord God, your name which is above all name, for you are the Lord God, and besides you there is none other. None can be compared to you, Father. None can be compared to our God. And so we thank you, and we bless you. We bless you, Father. We bless you tonight, oh Lord God. We bless you, Father. And we thank you for everything that you're doing. And we declare it right now that it is done. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And let all the saints say amen. 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 And amen. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory. Thank you for trample upon the serpent and the scorpion and all against all the attacks of the enemy. And he said that nothing shall harm us. And we know that the enemy comes, he releases those attacks, those schemes and those plots against us to distract us and to keep us from releasing the word of God, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. But Jesus said, I give you power over that. Amen. I give you authority. I give you dunamis power to trample upon that. Amen. To trample upon that and not to allow the, in my study some while ago, it said not to allow the machinations. Those are the plots and the schemes that the enemy tries to throw our way and the distractions that he tries to put in our way to keep us from releasing the word of God that is inside of us. But Jesus said, I give you power over that. So we're not to be fearful. Amen. Amen. We're not to be fearful about the time, the culture in which we live in, because it is a culture that's upside down. It's a world upside down. But the word says to be of good cheer. Jesus said, be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. I have overcome this system. I have overcome the world. And because he overcame, we overcome. Amen. We overcome. We overcome. And so as we were worshiping, the word just came up in my spirit that in Isaiah, when he prophesied, God says that I'm giving you wisdom and knowledge of me. Wisdom and knowledge of my word is going to be the stability of your time. It's going to keep you anchored. It's going to keep you anchored, steadfast, unmovable when you face those challenges in your life, when you see those things that are happening in the world that cause you to go like, whoop, what was that? What was that all about? What is happening? Is the word is going to cause you to be stable. Wisdom and knowledge of God is going to cause you to be stable where you're not going to be moved when you see those things and hear those things that are happening in the world. And we know there's a lot that's happening. Amen. There's a lot of devastation that's going on. There's a lot of destructions that's going on. I mean, when planes are dropping out of the sky and with almost 300 passengers in it and can't be found, what is that telling us? Something is happening. Something is happening. When 300 young girls at one time being kidnapped and sold off into slavery, what is that telling us? It's not one or two or a group, 10 or 12. This is 300. We ain't heard of such a thing. At least I haven't heard of such a thing. But this is the time in which we're living in. And when we look at those groups of men that kidnap them, you know, they got a purpose for doing that. It's not just to marry them off to men. They're trying to raise up an army. They're trying to raise up an army to bring forth what they believe in. What they believe in, which is Islam and Muhammad lives, and we gonna kill the infidels, who they call us infidels, because we don't believe in Islam, and Muhammad. We believe in the one and true God, and His Son Jesus Christ. So they got a plan, but God already knows that plan, and He's raising up an army, and He's telling us not to be moved. But to know the times, know the times. There was a wise woman, Abigail. The word says that Abigail understood the times. And that's not just for women, that's for both women and men. We have to understand the times in which we live in and not be afraid about what we see or what we hear, but knowing that we got the greater one on the inside of us. Amen. And he's given us a word. He's given us his word that keeps us anchored. We got a host of angels. Come on now, saints. We got a host of angels that are surrounding us and protecting us and keeping us. God's protection is on us. Amen. And he says, fear not. Glory to God. Fear not. And so I'm just saying, Lord, you know, we have to be strengthened in our inner man and not give over to the things that are happening in the world today, and not to say, oh my goodness, what are we gonna do? Well, one thing we need to do is pray more. Amen. We need to pray. Your prayers are effective if you know the God that you serve, and you're gonna pray according to his word. Know his word and pray his word back to him. And what he tells us, you know, if he tells us that we have authority over the enemy, we got authority over the enemy. Amen. If Jesus said, the word says that he crushed his head and soon we'll be put up on our feet, we just remind him what he's going to be. Amen. And we keep him down there until that time. Glory to God. We don't want to see him up here. You know, it means that he's troubling you. Or he's trying to trouble me. No, you ain't getting up here. You down here. You going to stay down here too. Because I know what to do. Amen. I know what to do. Amen. I know what to do. And you know what to do. Amen. We know what to do. Glory to Jesus. We put the word on him. Shroom. Like Pastor Verna say, I got the samurai sword. I cut you, devil. I cut you good with the word. I like that. Cut him good with the word. Amen. Well, he don't show up no more. Satan might send another demon, but that one been cut deep. He not showing up no more. Amen. Glory to Jesus. And so wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of our time. It's going to keep us anchored. The word of God, knowledge of God, wisdom of God, as we apply it over every situation, is going to keep us stable and anchored. And so here comes tonight, redeeming the time. We have to redeem the time. That means we know what the word means. Jesus redeemed us with his precious blood. He bought us back. Hallelujah. It cost him. It cost him to bring us back into right relationship with the Father. It cost him his life. So he paid that price and redeemed us, purchased us back. And so the word tells us that we too have to redeem the time, redeeming the time. And so I just want to look at two scriptures as it talks about that. As we look at our culture and what's happening, you know, what's happening in our culture, and you know, different sects are rising up and trying to replace the true and living God. And Jesus told us that, though. He said that man was going to rise up. He said that. He said man was going to rise up and say, there's Jesus, there's Jesus, there's Jesus, there's Jesus. Talking about man. Man putting himself in the place of Christ. But Jesus said, no, no, because when I come, you're going to see me in the clouds if you're still here. You're going to see me in the clouds. I'm not putting my foot on earth at this time, but you're going to see me in the clouds. Glory to Jesus. And so when we see these things and when we hear these things of how men, when I say men and women trying to raise themselves up to be like Christ, and they never will be like Christ, never will be like God. I mean, God could just take the breath away from them and they gone. Glory to Jesus. Just take a breath away. But God is allowing this because it's all culminating. Christ's return. That's why it behooves us to be in the Word of God and know the Word of God so that we won't be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, everything that comes forth. We won't be tossed because we know the truth, and God's Word is the truth. Hallelujah. And so what stirred me to bring the redeeming of the time was as I was reading, you know, in the book of Ezekiel in the 23rd chapter, Ezekiel and Jeremiah were around about at the same time. And if you read their books, their prophetic word, prophecy concerning Israel and Judah is almost the same, almost the same. But in the 23rd chapter, Ezekiel, God tells Ezekiel, gives him like an analogy, and it's about the sins of Israel and Judah. But he talks about these two women. He talks about these two women, if you want to go there right quick. He talks about these two women. And in the 23rd chapter, and I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but just take little nuggets out of it. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, there were two women, the daughters of one mother. And they played the harlot. And I'm skipping over into the Amplified. And they played the harlot in Egypt. There they played the harlot in their youth. There their bosoms were pressed, and their virgin breasts were handled. And the names of them were Aholah and the elder and Ahulaba, her sister, and they became mine. And they bore sons and daughters. As for the identity of their names, Ahula is Samaria, and Ahulaba is Jerusalem. And Samaria was the capital of the northern tribe, the 10 northern tribe, and we know that Jerusalem was the capital of Judah, and that's where God's presence was, the temple was. And Ahula played the harlot when she was mine, and she was foolishly fond of her lovers and doted on the Assyrians, her neighbors. And that word doted is to have inordinate affection, inordinate, to go beyond what is normal, usual, or proper. This is how bad their condition got. They doted on the Assyrians. They doted on all of those other nations, wanting what those other nations had. The scripture tells us that over in verse 12, it says, and this is now dealing with Ahulaba. We already know that Ahula, you know, doted on the Assyrians, and now Ahulaba, which is her sister, yet she was more corrupt, in verse 11, she was more corrupt in her foolishness, fondness, than she, and in her harlotries, she was more wanton than her sister in her harlotries. She doted upon the Assyrians, the governors and deputies, her neighbors, clothed most gorgeously, horsemen riding upon horses, all of them desirable young men. And I saw that she was defiled, that both of her sisters took one away. But Ahulaba, or Jerusalem, carried her harlotries further, for she saw men pictured upon the wall, the pictures of the Chaldeans, sketched in bright red pigment, girded with girdles on their loins, with flowing turbans on their heads, all of them looking like officers, a picture of Babylonian men whose native land was Chaldean. Then as soon as she saw the sketches of them, she doted on them. She did inordinate things, things that were so outrageous and improper. She did things. She did those things. And the Babylonian came to her and to the bed of love, and they defiled her with their evil desires. And when she was polluted by them, she, Jerusalem, broke the relationship and pushed them away from her in disguise, because she now she feels you know, like used, you know, used, but she doted. And what that is meaning, even in this time, as we look at the world system, even with believers, the word tells us that we have to walk upright before God. We sing the song and we know it, and believers all over the world sing the song, God is holy, God is holy. The word tells us that God is holy and God has called us to be holy. And God has given his word and told us how we are to act and how we are to conduct ourselves in this life. We have to be an example. God has placed us here. We were birthed into this earthly realm for a purpose. One, to glorify God. And as we glorify God and as we come into the knowledge of him and come into the knowledge of his son and get saved, then we go and we proclaim that word unto others, because many are probably in the same situations that we have been in. Amen? But because we've been delivered, we got a message. We've got a message. We've got a message that others can be delivered. Just like that Gadarene man, that man who we would say would be an outrageous schizophrenic in our day, living in tombs, cutting himself, screaming all day and all night. You know, nobody could come near him. They try to put chains upon him. He break the chains, and he's just screaming. We would call him crazy. In this day, we would say the man is crazy. In the medical profession, they probably call him schizo. He was so bad, nobody could help him. Nobody but Jesus. And Jesus meets this man. And this man has an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. and demons comes out. Jesus cast the demons out. And then the word says that the next thing, the man was sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed, meaning because he was naked first. He's crazy now. He don't have no clothes on. He cutting himself. He's screaming, yipping, and hollering. Don't want nobody to come near him. He has an encounter with Jesus. And the word says that when Jesus cast those devils out, the man sat at his feet. He sat there clothed and in his right mind. In his right mind. And that's what Jesus will do. Many of us have been disturbed in our mind, and Jesus has come in and regulated our mind. Amen. So we got news. We got news. We don't have to go to, you can go there if you want to. You can go to those therapists if you want to. But the drugs are not going to help. The drugs are a suppressor. They only suppress the problem. They don't get to the root of the problem. Jesus gets to the root. So getting back to this and the way Israel and Judah were in doting upon these officials, you know, when we look, you know, when we look at people that are in power, you know, we sometimes people dote after that. You got, you know, you have some, you might have Christians doting, because the word says that Israel and Judah did it. So these were God's people. And so it lets me know that I can find myself in here now. I found myself, okay? So y'all find yourself. Find yourself. And so many, you know, you might have been doting. Doting on political figures, doting on sports figures, doting on those that are in fashion, you know, those that are in entertainment, doting, thinking that they have it all. You know, in your mind, you're committing this in your mind. And remember now, remember the words of Jesus. Jesus says that if you think it, you've done it. You don't have to be in the act. He said if you think it, you think it, you've done it. And so all of this doting and all of this going against the word of God and turning away from God and them serving Baal and worshiping Baal and worshiping them, those false gods, got them caught up and drug into captivity. And so here we are today. We're believers in Christ. You know, nations are not going to take us into captivities, but those sins will. Those sins will, those hidden sins will keep you in captivity and cause you to be unproductive and unfruitful. Hallelujah. But we want to be free. And those of us that are free, amen, we want others to be free because Jesus came to set us free. And he who the Son has set free is free indeed. Amen. And so in this culture, in this nation in which we live in, it doesn't matter that they're trying to change the way it does matter, but according to God's word, it's going to get worse and worse. So I'm just agreeing with God's word, and I'm preparing myself. Amen. And so we want to prepare ourselves for things that are going to get worse and worse. If we still here on this earth until Jesus tarry, we're going to see some things, but yet we're going to see the power of God. We're going to see the power of God operating and moving in our lives. Amen. We're going to see the power of God moving in such a fierce way, just like with the early prophets speaking a word. Amen. Speaking a word and seeing miracles, signs, and wonders. Why? Because we're a sign and a wonder. We are a sign and a wonder. And so because we see the culture, and we see how it's shifting, and we see the things that are happening, the word tells us what we are to do, and that's to redeem the time. So turn to Colossians 4:5 first. Glory to Jesus. Colossians 4:5. And the word tells us in Colossians 4:5, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Amen. walk in wisdom. And as I was standing there, the word, the Lord just wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your time and keeping you anchored. And the way we obtain that wisdom and knowledge of God is, one, we've got to be in God's word. We've got to know what God's word says about a matter. We've got to know him. The word is going to teach us who our God is. Who our God, that's, you know, that was a motivating factor when I really just started getting into the scriptures. I want to know you, Lord. I want to know you. I want to know you just like those prophet did of old. I want to know you. And that means crucifixion to my flesh. That means dying. That means dying. And but I told the Lord, I'm willing. I'm willing. Because I want to know you. I don't want to just know you just by page. You know, you read a scripture and you just, you know, I want the word to become alive in me. I want revelation knowledge. I want revelation knowledge of you so that I can tell somebody else about you. So I can tell them about your great love. Your great love you poured out and how you sacrificed your only son. You, Father, you came down in flesh in the person of Jesus Christ and went upon that cross. I want to know you. I want to know your power. I want to know what you say about me. I want to know what you have to say about me. I want to know my purpose here in this earthly realm. I want to know why you created me, why you allowed my mother to give birth to me and put me here. I want to know that. I want to know that so that I can fulfill your plan and purpose for my life. Amen? And you want to know that. You want to know your Father. Jesus said he's your Father. When we pray, he says, say, our Father. Jesus made that connection. We're connected with the Lord Jesus Christ, with the Father, our Father. So our Father. You are the God and Father of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And every time I say that, chills go through my body. Amen. He is the God and Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Jesus has given us the right, the authority to go in and petition him, to go directly into his throne room. Glory to Jesus. And so the word says to walk in wisdom toward them that are without. So those folks that you might have been dote known, you ain't got to dote on them. You ain't got to want what they want. Stop desiring what they want. God's got something better for you. Amen. God's got something better for me. I don't have to want what the world wants. And I don't, you know, and what they want, I'm getting. Somebody got to give it up. Because the word says that the wealth of the sinner is being transferred into the hands of the righteous. And I'm the righteous, and I take that word literally. I take it literally. I take it literally. Amen. I take it literally. Some kind of way that money is coming into my hands. And somebody got to give it up. Glory to Jesus. But in the interim, I don't sit back just waiting. When it's going to happen? 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 I'm busy about my Father's business. I want his word to take complete control over me that when I go out there into the world, into the marketplace, on my job, into the community, that I'm a blessing to somebody. I got Jesus locked up in my loins. And his word wants to be released. I got something for you. Amen. I got something for you. And even if the opportunity doesn't present where words, verbal words, come out of my mouth by my conduct. By my conduct and how I carry myself, my character will speak. Glory to Jesus. Because that's how we redeem in the time. Amen. I like this definition. It says to make wise and sacred use of every opportunity for doing good. We are to make wise and sacred use. Wise and sacred use. That tells me I got to know the word. I got to have God's wisdom, and his word is sacred. His word is holy. Amen. It's sanctified. Jesus already told me, you don't even go and cast that word to everybody. Dogs will trample on it. Some folks out there, dogs, and they don't want it. And his word is a pearl. And you don't just cast it out to anybody. It's whoever got an ear to hear. Let them hear. Amen. A heart that's receptive to receive the good news. Amen. So you be careful about, be led by the Holy Spirit is what it is. You be careful about how you handle the word of God and how you release the word of God. Because there are some dogs out there that are trying to trample on it. Trample on it and make you look stupid. Yeah. Make you look stupid. So anyway, the word says, this definition says to make wise and sacred use of every opportunity for doing good so that zeal and well-doing are as it were the purchase money by which you make the time our own. Or you make it your own. It's your zeal and your well-doing that's purchasing the time. Amen? Your zeal and your well-doing for God. That's why, I say, especially for everybody reach the age of 50, it's time for us to give God a reason to keep us here. I'm going to give you a reason to keep me here because I want to be about your business. I don't want to just stay here just for the sake of just staying here, just living a mundane life, waking up, doing the same old routine over and over and over and over and over and over again, and nothing being productive, nothing glorifying you. I mean, even, I don't want to just do something that's just going to try to make Denise something. For what? I want to glorify my Father. So I gave him a reason to keep me. And when I found it in his word, long life, will he satisfy me? Yep. You said it. Yep. And I'm going to stay in your presence, Lord. Hallelujah. And so I want to give God a reason to keep me here. And so I want to redeem that time. I want to make wise and sacred use of every opportunity that comes before me. Every opportunity. I want to use it to glorify God. I want to use it to lift up the name of Jesus. I want to use it to draw someone closer to Jesus. I want to tell them about the power of God, which is able to deliver them in whatever situation that they might be in, if they are willing to hear and to receive. Glory to Jesus. So Colossians says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without. There are many that are unsaved. And instead of condemning them, we got to walk in wisdom. We got to walk in wisdom. And we got to make wise and sacred use of every opportunity to lead them to Jesus. Not to condemn them. They already condemned in their sin. They already. If they were to die today and not receive Jesus, they go to hell. So they already condemned. We want to speak life. We want to speak life to them. We want to raise them up out of that situation. Amen? We want to raise them up out of that situation and give them hope and let them know that there is hope for them. Amen? Now, if they reject it, that's on them. I've done my job. Then perhaps the Lord may send somebody else. Can I have some paper towel, please? The Lord may send somebody else to water what I've already planted, the seed that is all. You never give up. You move on, but you never give up. And as long as there's breath in the person's body, as long as they're still alive, thank you so much. As long as they're still alive, there's hope for them. There's hope for them. Amen. We want to believe that there's hope for them because the word lets me know that it's God's desire that none perish. So I want to have the heart of God. It's God's desire that none perish, but all come into the saving knowledge of the truth. So we want to have the heart of God. God has sent forth his son to die for the sins of the world. Jesus paid an ultimate price to do that. Amen. And so we want to have the heart of God. We want to see souls saved and won into the kingdom. We don't want to just, well, you're going to hell. Well, If they reject Christ when we're presenting the gospel to them, that could be possible if they were to die right then. But let's pray and believe that God will send another laborer their way to release the word unto them. If they didn't hear, it penetrated into their soul, but perhaps God will send, the Holy Spirit will send somebody else to speak to them. Next verse, Ephesians. Let's go to Ephesians 5:11 then. And we're going to read from Ephesians 5:11 and 15 and 16, and then we'll wrap it up. Hallelujah. So we're talking about redeeming the time to make wise and sacred use of every opportunity for doing good. Amen? Every opportunity for doing good. And so Ephesians 5:11 reads, take no part in and have no fellowship with the fruitless deeds and enterprises of darkness. But instead, I'm reading from the Amplified, let your lives be so in contrast as to expose and reprove and convict them. Let your life, let my life, your life, be so in contrast, such a distinction. That's what contrast is. It's an obvious distinction, a difference. Let your life be in contrast as to where it exposes, reproves, and convicts them. It's my life. You don't want to hear me? That's all right. Every day I go on my job. That's all right. But you know, the Holy Ghost got a way of commanding respect. But I don't have to say anything. You tried to shut me down. Okay, that's your place. I don't have to have your conference room. We can meet at the park. But you shut that down. But my life is going to speak for me. And my life is such a contrast that it's going to reprove your behavior. Amen. It's going to reprove their behavior. Your life. Let your life speak. The light of Christ is on the inside of us. It's our life. It's our changed life. A changed life. Not the old way. Not making excuses. Because there are no excuses in the kingdom. We have the power of the Holy Spirit, and we have God's word that says what is a matter and what isn't a matter. And if God's word says that you can walk up right before them and you don't have to be caught in no idolatry, you don't have to be caught in no fornication, you don't have to be caught in pornography or homosexuality. Well, you know, we're in the flesh. Well, you need to come out of the flesh. Let the flesh die. That's what's got to happen. The flesh has to die. But he's given us power to overcome that. He's given us power to live a victorious life. Glory to Jesus. And so Ephesians 11, I just read, take no part in and have no fellowship with the fruitless deeds and enterprises of darkness. But instead, see, this is about the culture we're living in now, understanding the times in which we're living in. Let your lives be so in contrast as to expose, reprove, and convict them. Glory to Jesus. Then drop down to verse 15. Look carefully then how you walk. Live purposefully and worthily and accurately, not as the unwise and witless, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people, godly people, having the wisdom and knowledge of God, because that's what keeps us stable. Amen? That's what keeps us anchored. It says, look carefully then how you walk. Examine. I must examine myself. I don't want to be a stumbling block for anyone. I don't even want to cause my brothers to stumble. Glory to Jesus. I don't want to cause anyone to stumble. So I have to look at me. I have to look at me, and you have to look at you. Glory to Jesus. And what the Holy Spirit reveals unto us that needs to be taken care of, we allow him to do that. Work in me, Holy Ghost. Work. 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 I surrender. I hate it. I hate fornication because I know what it does. I hate it. I hate it. I hate what it does. Fornication is having sex outside of marriage. I hate it. I hate that outside of marriage. Marriage is an honorable thing. And God has kept me, and I've never been married. He's keeping me since I surrendered that over to him. Glory to Jesus, and I'm thankful. That's why I know the power of God, too. Glory to Jesus. But you got to hate whatever it is that keeps you in bondage. You got to hate it. You got to hate it. And you got to love God more. That's going to get you your victory. Hate that thing and love God more. If it's bad communication coming out your mouth, and you know that it's not edifying, hate that thing. Lord, clean my mouth. I hate it. I need you to help me. I surrender it over to you. Allow him to do that. And don't pick it back up. Whatever it is, allow him to work in you, because that's his job. That's the Holy Ghost's job. Let the Holy Ghost do his job. Glory to Jesus. Making the very most, in verse 16, key, making the very most of the time, buying up each opportunity because the days are evil. We want to redeem the time, buy it back up. Amen. To be wise and sacred, to make wise and sacred use of every opportunity. And the Holy Ghost is the one that's given us the opportunity, and he's speaking through us. And so all that's going on in the world today, and the people that we encountered, and those that we see or come in contact with, whether it's family members, friends, loved ones, cousins, co-workers, or whoever it is, you know, let's take every opportunity that we get, not to beat them up, but to speak life to them. Life to them, that they get convicted, that the word convicts them. And the word says it's the Holy Ghost that brings conviction. His job is to convict men of their sins, that they would repent and come to Jesus. Amen? That's his job. So we want to be in collaboration. That's a word being used all around everywhere. We want to collaborate with the Holy Ghost. And we want the Holy Ghost. We are here, we're the vessels, and he's going to use us to take every opportunity to reach them. Those that are still caught up, those whose eyes are blinded by the enemy, those that are still in their sin, those that continue to miss the mark. Missing the mark of being saved. Those that are still on that wrong path, we want them to get on the right path. We want them to have a changed heart, a changed mind. Amen. That they receive the gift of salvation, which is for every soul. Glory to Jesus. So we want to redeem the time. Amen. Redeem the time. Ask the Holy Ghost to help you to redeem that time, to buy back, you know, time with your zeal and your passion and your love for God, that you take every opportunity that the Holy Spirit gives unto you to release a good word. A good word. A word that will save, a word with power to be released to save those that are still in bondage. Amen. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Don't y'all want God to use you in that manner? There's nothing greater than to be used by God to reach a lost soul, or to say, give an encouraging word to someone that's been struggling or someone that's hurting, to give them a word that builds them up. Amen. And causes their faith to go higher in Christ. Glory to Jesus. Oh, amen. If you love the Lord, stand up. If you love the Lord, it's time to stand up and go. You love the Lord. Stand up. Amen. Father, we just thank you for this night, oh Lord God. I thank you for the saints of God that are here tonight, Father. And I pray that, Lord God, that the word that was released tonight, that it fell on good soil and that they received it. And that, Father, we are all mindful, Lord God, of redeeming the time and to be mindful of how we walk in this life, how we regulate our life, and how we conduct ourselves out in the world. We know how we are within our local body and in this assembly, Father, but how we are in the world, that's what matters, because those are people who are looking at us. And there are many that are out there, Father. Your word lets us know that there are many that are in the valley of decision, Father, and we may encounter them, oh Lord God, and they just want someone to give them something, give them hope, and we have hope. Jesus Christ is our hope. And so, Father, help us, Holy Ghost. Help us to redeem the time. Help us to be mindful. And your word says you're giving us wisdom and knowledge. And I pray, Father, that every believer hungers and thirsts more for you, Father, in studying your word. And Lord God, and not to be fearful about studying your word. Many in the body of Christ are fearful, for they think that they can't understand your word. But the greatest teacher is on the inside of them if they've ever confessed Christ Jesus. The Holy Ghost is our greatest teacher, and he will give us revelation knowledge. He will give us knowledge, and he will renew our mind, that even when we come to the sanctuary and hear the word, that our minds and our heart are receptive to receive the engrafted word, which is able to keep us and save our souls. So we thank you for tonight, Father, and I bless the people tonight, Lord, that as we leave this place, we go safely to our destination, Lord God, and that you keep us until we return again, in Jesus' name. And let all the saints say amen. 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 Well, amen.